Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
7:15, Tuesday, July 13th, 14 days until Saints training camp. We're hanging in the upper 70s, and it's going to get hotter than hot, and it's going to be very humid, but there's no tropical weather, so that's good. Now, what impact could tropical weather have on an abandoned oil well, and whose responsibility is it to clean all of that up? So there's the environmental concern, and economically, what does it mean if all of these wells are abandoned to the oil and gas industry economically, and will they ever be used again? Here to help us sort all of that out is Greg Upton, assistant research professor at LSU Center for Energy Studies, and our friend. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Doing well.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I think a lot of times we use phrases and repeat them, and maybe we don't really know what they mean. So when it comes to oil and gas, what causes, and maybe in this story you can take us through the chronology of it, how did the well get to be there? How did it become abandoned? And what are the environmental risks of just leaving it as it is, and how were these things left?
Yeah, sure. So right now, as you know, Fieldwood Energy is the big story out there. They operate about 2,900 wells offshore, and they are right now going through Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which is trying to reorganize some of those assets. And so just to talk about this specific instance, you know, a lot of the wells that were drilled offshore were drilled by what we call the majors. So the big ones are Chevron, Shell, and BP. And eventually what happens is the productive life of those assets, you know, if they're producing and production declines over time, sometimes you'll have smaller companies that come in and purchase those assets. And in this instance, Fieldwood Energy was started in 2013, and they've been using those assets ever since and utilizing them for generating profits. And eventually,
Professor, if I might raise my hand and ask a question.
Sure.
If the big companies abandon them, why would a smaller company have interest in it?
Well, they didn't abandon them. They sold them, and they're still profit generating. And so when the company...
They got the quick, easy stuff, and now... I got you. Okay.
Yeah, and so now the issue is that, you know, that Fieldwood is saying, okay, well, they're going into bankruptcy, and because of how the laws work, if they do not properly plug and abandon those wells and decommission those assets, some of that liability can actually go onto the entity that owned it beforehand, which in this case is BP and Chevron. So they're actually objecting to the bankruptcy for that reason. And so what you hope is that when the asset goes out of its productive life, the companies will properly decommission them, plug and abandon them, and then everything works fine. But if that doesn't happen, that's when you end up with these legal troubles that we're talking about today.
So, and this is not going to be accurate in a physical sense, but analogically, the big companies, they come in, they put the well in, they get the quick, easy oil that they can where it's cost effective to do that. Then it's like, well, it's not really worth it for us with our model to pursue this anymore. That's when they turn it over to the smaller company, or the smaller company expresses interest in it, right? And that's when they'll work a little bit harder to get the oil. Am I close?
Yeah, no, that's exactly generally accurate. You know, at some point, if you're a multinational corporation, like Chevron, Shell, BP, just these enormous companies, if an asset's not large enough, generating enough profits, they say it's just not really worth the effort, if you will, to continue operating that, so they'll sell it to that other company. So, yeah, that's exactly accurate.
All right, we take a quick break and we come back. I want to talk about the environmental concerns here. How many of these things are out there? How do you secure them? Do you remove the whole thing? Do you leave it out there as an artificial reef? What do you plug? How do you keep the oil from leaking, et cetera? And how much of an environmental concern is this? And it's not necessarily sexy until the oil comes washing up on a bleach on the beach, rather. Then you get concerned about it. And I thought it was pretty interesting that you're talking about 1,700 oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico, and if it's going to revert back to these big oil companies, this is going to be tied up in court for years and years and years, and what happens in between there. So we'll pick it up when we come back, 7:20. Time for traffic now on WWL.
From the Acadian Windows and Siding, WWL Traffic Center, of Joshua Dausch. In Metairie, southbound on Causeway Boulevard, accident with a jackknifed 18-wheeler at West Metairie, blocking multiple lanes, and congestion is all the way back to Veterans. It's also causing delays northbound on Causeway Boulevard as well. I-10 coming from Laplace on the spillway. Minor accident up at mile marker 214. As you get into Kenner, normal traffic flow there on I-10 all the way to downtown. Traffic in from the east on the interstate, no congestion at the high rise, and from the west bank, it's smooth coming across the connection in Huey P. Have a traffic tip? Call WWL 260-INFO.
Somebody was telling me the other day they went to get paint at a big box store and they couldn't find what they needed because there was a shortage for some reason, this, that, the other thing. First of all, my question was, why in the hell are you going to the big box store when you can get Benjamin Moore paint at Helm Paint and Decorating for the same, if not a lower price? And my next comment was, they got plenty of paint. Benjamin Moore Paint is they're locked and loaded at Helm Paint and Decorating. They got every kind of paint you want, every color of paint you want, and all you got to do is go get it or drive through if you want, and they'll even deliver it if it's an order of 2 gallons or more. So if you're in the middle of painting and you run out, just call them. They'll deliver 2 gallons or more to you. I painted my house with Benjamin Moore Paint because I never wanted to have to do it again. I was so concerned with it, I used the Benjamin Moore Lifetime Paint, and just to see what it was like, I painted it on a surface that I knew, an old piece of counter material that I knew it was not going to stick to, and I peeled it off, and it was like this thick plastic sheeting. And now when it rains, I just sit back and smile because I know that wood's protected. Why don't you go see Helm Paint and Decorating when it's time to paint, when you need any paint? They got over 3,000 colors. They got a great color matching service, and they'll deliver 2 gallons or more. And you can always drive through and pick it up at Earhart. Helm Paint and Decorating. Go to helmpaint.com and let them steer you right. 7:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about some abandoned wells in the Gulf of Mexico. 1,700 of them, about. They were abandoned by Fieldwood Energy when they declared bankruptcy, but the cleanup could revert back to the original owners, big players like BP, Royal Dutch Shell, Chevron, etc. So when it comes to actually abandoning a well, what do they do? What do they shut off? And our guest, by the way, Greg Upton, assistant research professor at LSU Center for Energy Studies, what do they do to make it fast, I guess, if that's the nautical term, but and secure it to see that no oil is leaking or whatever? What do they seal up, and then does that rig just stay there? Talk to me about that, Greg.
Yeah, so for the well itself, what they do is they put a lot of concrete down it, and it just makes a big concrete tube in that well, and then they do well tests to make sure that there's no methane or any gases like that that are leaking up to the top. So that's for the well itself that was drilled. And then, of course, you have the platforms themselves. And those, what happens is there's what's called a rigs to reef program, where they take the platform and they actually put it in the water. And it's actually a really good reef for the fish out there, and fishermen love it. It's actually ecologically a good thing. So that's how they abandon it.
So they put the whole thing in, because I'm looking at a platform on four legs right now. They sink that entire thing where with living quarters and everything else in the water?
So I think the living quarters and those kind of things, they're going to remove and bring back to shore. But the structure itself, yes, they'll actually cut it off. They'll weld it off, and then they'll put it sideways in the water. And it's ecologically, apparently, it's a good thing for the fish, et cetera.
So how big of a problem is this environmentally, the fact that, beg your pardon, take a step back, economically, that Fieldwood Energy declared bankruptcy. Is that indicative of a bigger problem going on with offshore drilling?
So I don't know that Fieldwood Energy specifically is indicative of problems in offshore drilling, but this larger issue of how we deal with these assets when they come to their end of their useful life is definitely an issue that the industry is going to have to grapple with. And so, of course, you've had these assets that have been producing, and eventually all of them are going to have to be decommissioned. And so there have been over 80,000 wells drilled in the Gulf of Mexico. And so, you know, who gets that liability eventually is a huge question. And I think that this particular bankruptcy case is going to be important for sort of determining what that'll look like in the future, which will impact the perceived liability of companies that are choosing to go out there and operate. And so I think that's the bigger picture for me of why this is important to look at, of how the companies perceive that risk.
So they fill a hole with concrete, and then they make sure nothing's leaking. But as I learned during the BP oil spill, oil is constantly bubbling up to the surface of the Gulf just from the floor of the sea, right?
Oh, absolutely. There are natural seepages of oil into the Gulf of Mexico and all over the world, correct?
So do these fixes generally work when they plug the hole with concrete? And if that's the case, what are we talking about here with Fieldwood or maybe even BP, Royal Dutch, Shell, Chevron, et cetera? Are we talking about sealing the hole or taking care of the abandoned platform and creating that reef, et cetera?
So they'll have to do both. So they'll have to properly plug and abandon the wells, which there's a federal agency that oversees that and determines that, yes, it was done properly. And then they'll have to decommission the platforms themselves, which, again, the federal government would oversee. And then there's actually a third piece of that, which is the pipelines that both bring the oil and natural gas from the wellhead to the platforms and also from the platforms into the, onto land where we can use the products. And so those pipelines also need to be properly decommissioned, which, again, there's another set of federal guidelines for that has to be approved, et cetera. And so it's really the entire decommissioning chain it's expensive. Just to give you an idea, in this particular bankruptcy proceeding, Chevron has claimed that Fieldwood Energy alone, decommissioning and plugging and abandoning all those assets, would be $9 billion. And so if you think for the whole Gulf of Mexico, I mean, you're talking, I don't have a specific number, but over $100 billion.
Real quick, we only have 30 seconds left. Is that a substantial job creator when it comes to decommissioning all of these?
Oh, absolutely. There will be jobs for probably decades of decommissioning activity.
Wow. I thank you. I appreciate your time and you educating us. Greg Upton, Assistant Research Professor at LSU Center for Energy Studies. We're going to talk to Howie Kaplan when we come back, owner of the Howlin' Wolf. Those donuts were being done pretty much adjacent to his business. So we'll talk about the perception of it and what does it mean when
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.